Now, we were going to talk about your holiday. We won't mention mine because I haven't had one. But
Yes, Graham, you're always going somewhere.
I know. I'm trying to work, trying to earn a quid while I'm not here. You were saying that it's a bit of a bun fight trying to get your VAT back in London, and I've left a bit of VAT on the table in various places, Bangkok Airport, for example, because it was just a hassle to queue up. Tell us the story.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because, getting your GST in Australia can be quite complicated as well, depending on what the queues are like at the airports in Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney. But in London, it's a real schmozzle. The queues there are just extraordinary. There's 300 or 400 people there trying to get their VAT back and get their all their receipts stamped and so they can claim.
Right.
And you have to do that before you check in. So normally most people go to the airport 2 hours before your flight leaves to check in. And I suppose at Heathrow you normally go a little bit earlier. But most people don't have any idea that you've got to spend this time in the queue. Mm. And so I knew because I'd tried before and failed. So this time...
that costs you money.
Very expensive. So this time I went early.
Right.
And so I got into this queue and there's probably a good 100 people before me. I was there for over an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But there were people rocking up and they were just about crying because they couldn't claim anything. They didn't have time. Their flights were leaving. Heathrow does have an information section about doing this and warning you that you need to be there 35 to 40 minutes beforehand. But I think people get such a surprise when they turn up. You go down a floor in the main Heathrow terminal and there are hundreds of people there. There are people with sheets and sheets and sheets of documents. They've got their Rolexes and they've got their Armani shoes and their bags and they're trying to claim everything because you have to have the goods with you as well to claim.
Well, they obviously weren't coming back into Australia.
No.
Right.
Oh, it's just, it is very, very
challenging. What percentage of your purchase is the VAT? Is it more than our GST? Is it like 10% or?
Yeah, you've caught me there. I think it's 15% in Britain.
Wow. Well, that can
so
be.
It's worth claiming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a little shop, not too big a one. I didn't buy a Rolex.
Right. But obviously there's a limit to what you can bring in, assuming you play by the rules and declare things. I think it's like $1,100 worth and you're going to get hit. If it's under $1,000, I don't know if you do.
Yeah.
Because you're allowed as personally to bring in. Now that's different compared with if you get stuff mail ordered from Hong Kong now, because thanks to the retail push led by guys like Terry Harvey, those of us who used to buy things offshore and bring them in now pay not only a GST but you pay a handling fee, so it negates the whole point of doing a lot of that online shopping. Mind you, I did see an interesting example the other day of a reseller selling into the Australian market. It was a camera. I was looking at a $1,200 camera here at retail. Was $845 GST paid with free delivery, and it was coming out of Hong Kong, and they delivered it in 4 days. Now, I don't know how they do that, except it was a kit box, which I'm assuming means it wasn't the full retail packaging. It was the type of packaging you get when you buy the camera with a kit lens and maybe it's got something else thrown in. So the box, you might get a box that's 3/4 empty, apart from your actual camera. But gee, a bit tempted, I've got to say.
Well, I did try that a couple of years ago. I bought a camera from one of those very good outlets in Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
and it failed. So
the camera failed?
Yes. It was an underwater camera.
Oh, right.
I took it diving, and the first dive filled up with water.
Oh, no.
So I went back to them because it was guaranteed, and they said, yes, send it back, and they sent back another one, but it never worked properly. And it's just following up guarantees and things is very, very difficult.
That's a valid point.
Yes.
It's a good reason to buy certain things here on shore, I think. But, look, sometimes I was buying these things because they just simply weren't available in Australia. Americans have a huge range of choice. If you want left-handed forks, I'm sure they can give them to you. But
I know just the place to find them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's the same with shoes.
Yeah.
If you want European shoes, there's a huge selection you can and range available in Europe that you just can't get in Australia.
What do? Send a photocopy of your foot.
No, you work out what brand fits you, and then you only buy that brand, and then you buy them online from the European sites.
I hadn't even thought about that. Well, that's interesting. All right, well, that's an interesting point, Sue. I'm glad you raised that. Now, did you get any surprises when your bank statement arrived back? Did you get stung by foreign bank fees and things?
No, look, I'm with one of the old credit unions, which has a really good policy for this, yep. And they don't overcharge. I mean, obviously, you've got to pay something, but I've tried everything. I've had the bank travel cards, which are very expensive. I've tried the cards that the airlines use. They're expensive. And I've tried just about everything I've used. Mm. I don't think everyone's got their different ways of doing it. But for me, I try and take a reasonable amount of cash, and then I use my credit card.
Debit card, yeah. Yeah, I think it's valuable. And if you've only got so much in there, then you can't lose more than is in there, can you? Which is probably worth thinking about too.
That's right. But it is, you are going to pay.